When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday, episode 24. Sorry I went MIA and disappeared for about, I think it's been 3 months. I last posted just before November. Then I went away for my birthday, and in that time I found out I was pregnant with baby number two, and was really sick. Just your typical pregnancy nausea, and couldn't even get out of bed, let alone put a bit of makeup on my face to come and film. But I'm finally feeling so much better now. I'm 21 weeks. I can't believe I'm over halfway. It's gone so quick, and I'm in the second trimester and feeling a lot more alive. This pregnancy has been so much brighter and better. And in light of this episode, I just wanted to briefly say that if you had a terrible pregnancy the first time round, take it from me that I can't obviously guarantee it, but it's not always the way for the second. I had so much trauma around my first pregnancy and didn't really know if I could do it again, and kind of had to really work with myself and build the thought of it back up until I made the decision to go again. And it's just been so beautiful, and I'm so thankful, and I feel so much more present and grateful. And it's been really beautiful. So yeah, take it from me. I guess it's not always the same second time around, but basically, in this time, I have been reflecting on my labor with Ziggy, who's my son, and it was really a wonderful time in my life, and I had such a positive birth experience. And I do see online a lot of not scaremongering, but a lot of fear around labor, and it's not something that I can resonate with, because I honestly had, luckily, I do feel so fortunate, I had a really great labor, and so I wanted to talk about it today. I am going to be sharing my labor video. I know, that's a bit wild. It's going to probably be already, you probably already watched it at the start of this YouTube video. I'm going to have clipped it in, Trey will have clipped it in. And I know it sounds a bit wild, because it really is the most vulnerable part of me that you will ever see. But because it was such a great experience, and I am an open book, and I basically share everything. I just thought, I really have a part of me that wants to share it, because if I can just help one woman, empower them to feel confident in delivering their baby, then that's a good job done, in my opinion. So I'm going to go over my labor really briefly. This episode will be nice and short and sweet. I won't waffle for ages. And then I got some lovely questions written in, and I'm going to answer them. I guess this is going to be a bit more of an educational one, which I feel like is, to me, the most important part of labor. And let's start. When I got pregnant with Ziggy, Ziggy wasn't necessarily planned, although he was by the universe. I didn't have a clue about pregnancy. I didn't have a clue about labor. And I felt really uneducated and quite alone in my thoughts as to what was going on. I felt like at that time in my friendship group, when I was pregnant, I was the only one really, and I felt quite isolated and alone, and I was quite scared. I'll really honest, I was quite scared. And then obviously I had a pretty pants pregnancy with Ziggy. I was just basically sick and bed bound for most of it. I just felt awful in myself. But when it came to labor, I had a really, really beautiful experience. And I kind of want to talk to you guys about the things I prepared for that. So at the beginning, initially, I had no clue. I had no idea how you give birth. I have no idea about the women's body and how it works. Honestly, I didn't even know what dilation was. I didn't really know much about the cervix, placenta. I didn't know you birth your placenta. I didn't know anything. So what I will say is the first initial step I took in preparing for labor, and this is something that I feel so passionate about because I feel like it based my labor, was hypnobirthing. I was very, very passionate in having quite a natural I don't say natural labour, because every labour is natural, and sometimes it's actually taken out of our hands as women, i.e. if there's a major medical complication and you have to have a C-section or whatever. They're all natural labours, but I was quite keen on pushing. I really wanted to have a go at getting Ziggy out. How do you say vaginally? I don't know, vaginally or vaginally? Vaginally, I think it sounds better. I really wanted to. I just think it's something that in life I wanted to experience, and I thought I need to prepare myself in the best way possible. So basically, I booked a hypnobirthing course, and I think this was the basis. It was like all the major ingredients as to how I got Ziggy out. Now, hypnobirthing is all about like being in tune with your body and understanding how like natural things and like literal things, i.e. Smells and sounds, and i.e. music or an incense burning, we can be in touch with our bodies, and knowing what's going on during labor and how to trust in it. Ziggy was 2 weeks overdue, and in that time I got asked more times than I probably would have liked to be induced, which is where they chemically, or they will give you like a hormone drip, but they'll try to bring on labor like unnaturally, I guess. And it was from my hypnobirthing that I learned so much, that I had so much confidence and power to say no, because I really believed that he would come when he's ready and when my body was actually ready to push him out. And I think with induction, and I don't want to like trigger anyone by saying this or anything that I say in this podcast, this is more than just kind of just like my experience and my opinion, but with induction, unfortunately, in my opinion, I feel like it makes your body go in to do something that it's not ready to do, because it kind of like artificially brings on the process. So through the hypnobirthing, I felt really, really passionate about saying no to induction and just trusting in my body. Now, I knew where my limits were. If it went on too long and it got more serious, then obviously I would have been smarter. But I kind of knew in that 2 week window that to trust in it. I really, really believed in that. So with the hypnobirthing course, you'll learn everything. That's so in-depth and so amazing. It's kind of like a science lesson and a lesson about your body all in one, and learning about like how to get the baby out naturally. I really, really also recommend, if you can, getting your birthing partners to do it with you. So I had two birthing partners. I had my sister and my partner, and Seth, my partner, did all of the hypnobirthing sessions with me. They were all over Zoom. We kind of like just got on the couch with snacks and like just kicked back. And Hannah, who I did the hypnobirthing session with, did it all over Zoom with us. My sister was my second birthing partner, who didn't do the hypnobirthing course with me, but they kind of played two different roles in my labor, which I will talk to you about. But I think getting your primary like labor birthing partner to do those sessions with you will be a huge touch, because they can kind of like advocate for you, and they know what you want, and they know what's going on as well. So that was like the bread and butter pudding to my labor, just having done the hypnobirthing, learning about all the different techniques, obviously the primary one being breathing. I breathed Ziggy out. I didn't have any pain relief. I couldn't even use gas and air, because gas and air made me feel really like away with the fairies, and I felt like I lost touch a little bit. And for me, pregnancy was like a mind game, and I really had to, no, labor was a mind game, sorry, pregnancy, I don't know what pregnancy was, but labor was a mind game, and I had to really be like in control of my thoughts and my breath. So as soon as I took that gas and air, my brain was gone, and I was like, no, it was making me feel so funny and so nauseous. So I actually had nothing. I was way too late for an epidural. I didn't want one anyways, but I was too late even if I did. So I did it pain-free, and the breathing and learning how to breathe in labor was like key, because you can expand so much energy doing it the wrong way. And it's all about being in tune with your mind and your body and your breathing, and knowing when and how to breathe to push the baby out. So that was the bread and butter pudding. Labor, hypnobirthing. I will scream about it till the cows come home. My sister's currently pregnant. And I said to her, you have to do a hypnobirthing course, because you will learn about everything. So that was the main thing. Second thing that I really want to talk about, because I just think it was one thing that my mom said that like really resonated with me. And again, I think it was pivotal in my labor, but she was like, don't sit down. Because she was like, gravity will do most of the work for you. And I know we see in lots of labor videos and in lots of videos in the movies about labor, women are kind of like lay on their back and their feet are up in the air and they're pushing when they're lying flat. But you've got so much more to work against, because you're pushing against gravity as well, if that makes sense. And I know why they do it, so nurses and midwives and doctors can get a good look. And I know it's necessary in some senses, but if you can do it, the hypnobirthing, natural, not natural, but the way you want to. I stood up my whole labor. I couldn't actually sit down. My body wouldn't let me. It was way too painful. And I got him out standing up. And I honestly feel like just standing up and having gravity bring him down, it made it a lot easier. And it was something that I would tell everyone to do. Like, obviously everyone is comfortable in different positions. A lot of my friends gave birth on their sides because that felt really comfortable. But if you haven't really thought about standing up, it really helps. I literally, as you'll see in the video, I just lay with my elbows over the bed and kind of like squatted a little bit with my knees and pushed down that way. And it was one thing that my mom said, and it just like really resonated with me. And it's actually so funny how my body didn't even let me sit down. But that really, really worked for me as well. Another thing that I would really, really, really scream about till the cows come home is that there are so many like pre-labor exercises that you can do, and I think are so imperative in helping a baby come out. There are so many online. If you're on TikTok, you can literally type it in the search bar and you will see so many people repeat the same ones, but it's all about kind of like the hip opening and all like the pelvic floor work. I worked out throughout my whole pregnancy with Ziggy. I don't actually know how, but I actually had the energy to. And I think, first of all, being active in that pregnancy helped a lot. But towards the end, I did a lot of like pre-labor exercises with the Bosu ball. I think that really, really helped in preparation, because your cervix is going to dilate to 10 centimeters and you're pushing out a big bubba. I mean, Ziggy was 9 pounds. So I think all those exercises really, really helped. Someone wrote in and they said, did you do the perineal massage? I think I've said that right. And I actually didn't. There's one thing I didn't do. I don't know why. I just didn't really feel like connected to it and wanted to do it. And it's basically where you massage like the perineum, I think it's called, to reduce the risk of tearing. I think I've got that right. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But I did tear. I think I had a second degree tear and I bled quite a lot and I had to get stitches. So actually, maybe that would have helped me. But I didn't prep by doing a perineal massage at all. Usually they say to get your partner to do it because they can see and do it better for you. But it just wasn't something that I felt like, oh, that's something that I really wanted to do. So those were kind of like the preppy things that I did. I kind of had in my mind what I wanted to do. I did all the hypnobirthing, learned about everything to do with the women's body. As I say, it's basically like a science lesson and tells you like how a women's body works when it's preparing for this. It gives you so much like confidence and power. Like, you really feel so ready and in awe of your body to just do this. And for me, it's like knowledge is power, and having the knowledge and being given all the information that I had no clue about. Like, in the beginning, I had zero knowledge and I felt so lost. And when I did this hypnobirthing course, it gave me so much confidence. And that's why I will rant and rave about it till the cows come home. So I actually had a 3-day labor. I started contractions on a Friday and he came on a Sunday, on the Sunday. And I went really slow from 1 to 6. So that took like a day and a half. And that was really, really tough because that is where my mind was like having to be the strongest. I actually went into the hospital 2 times thinking like, oh my God, like he's going to be here any second. But they turned me away because I was like 2 centimeters dilated. And then when I went back the second time, which I'd waited at home for hours for, I was only 3 centimeters and I was absolutely beside myself because I was thinking, how? And at this point, I'm not gonna lie or sugarcoat it, I was in a lot of pain. I was really, really struggling with the pain and the discomfort. I couldn't sleep because I was in that much pain. But it's a pain that, like, you know your body's designed to take, and with your head in gear and breathing through it, you kind of just like have this adrenaline and energy around you that kind of just gets you through it. I did take a bath in that time. That really, really helped me, just taking some time in some water with the music that I wanted to have during that experience. I did a lot of walking up and down like my apartment hallway. Luckily, I have a really long apartment hallway, and that came in really handy. I just slowly waddled for hours and hours and hours all through the day and all through the night. Like, it was such a crazy, crazy experience. And then it got to the point I'd start using my TENS machine, which is a machine that you put on your back and it's got like electrical currents and it can it tries to combat the contractions, and it does work. I did find it handy. It wasn't like incredible. And I'll tell you what I found better, but it did work. And I would recommend, if you can, I just grabbed one from Boots, and using that was really helpful. But it got to a point, I remember it so well, which is so interesting, because normally they say that labor deletes from your memory because of the trauma and the pain, but I actually remember mine. It got to really late on the Saturday night. It was past midnight, and my sister and Seth, we were really toying with the fact and like whether we go in the third time, thinking that we would probably get turned away again, because at this point it had gone so slowly. And it was actually Seth that made the call, and he was like, I don't think this will be the time we get turned away, because things had really ramped up. I was mooing like a cow in the apartment. And he said he kind of felt like it was go time. And I'm so glad he did, because we got in the car, and that was a really painful drive, because as I say, I couldn't sit down, and sitting in the car was really tough. Luckily, it was only like a 10-minute drive to the hospital. So we got to the hospital. I went straight to triage, and I was like, I think it's time. So they put me into a room. She checked my cervix, and I was 6 centimeters. Luckily, you can stay in then. And they said, okay, let's get you straight to the labor ward. I did kind of want to go into the birthing suite, because that mirrors the whole hypnobirthing experience. You can have the pools, and it's all very kind of like a non-medical environment, but it was closed. That didn't really faze me though. I was kind of just like, whatever. I went into a labor room, which was of course more medical, kind of had like all the equipment, but it was really nice. It was really spacious. Quite calm, quite chill. I met my midwife. She introduced herself. She was called Heather, and she was a youngish lady, kind of like probably my age-ish. And I kind of like connected with her like immediately. I knew she wasn't going to be like a soft and warm and cuddly midwife, but she was quite like straight to the point and frank with me. And I think she used a bit of like reverse psychology to like actually get Ziggy out. I'll explain that in a minute. So we got into the room, and she actually banded me up, which is where they put the bands around your belly to check baby's heartbeat. And I found it so irritating. I kept saying to her, obviously I'm kind of spaced out at this point. I'm like 2.5 days no sleep. I've been in labor for like almost 3 days. I'm in so much pain, and I was a bit spaced out, and I kept saying to her like, these are really irritating me, and I kept trying to pull them off. She kept saying to me like, Lucy, you have to keep these on, like this is how I know like if Ziggy is okay or not, and if you keep taking them off, like it's going to put him at risk. And I even got to the point, it got to one stage, and I really like felt the need to go to the toilet, but I don't know if I said it to her because I just wanted to take the bands off again, and I was like, okay, well I need the toilet, so can you take the bands off? She was like, yeah, I can take the bands off for you to go to the toilet, but then you have to come back. So she took the bands off, and I went to the toilet. At this point in the labor room, by the way, I got stark naked. Don't know why. I couldn't have any clothes on me. I was butt freaking naked. I feel sorry for this woman. And I was just kind of like stood, like dawdling like this, kind of leaning over the bed when I needed to, just kind of like slowly swaying side to side. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't lay down, but I went to the toilet anyway. She took the bands off me, and Seth came with me, and I sat down, and I said, ooh, I put my hand down below, and I felt like a head. And at this point, I had kind of felt like the need to push more. So I asked Heather, I said, hey, can you come and check this? And she came to me in the bathroom. She was like, Lucy, you need to get off the toilet. Like, that's baby's head. And I was like, oh, wow. So when I got to 6 centimeters, I went from 6 to 10 super quick. So I went super slow from 1 to 6. And then from 6 to 10, I went uber quick. And it was like push time within like 40 minutes, which I'm very thankful for, because if it took longer, I don't know how I would have. I think at that point, I was out of energy. So I got banded back up. I was leaning over the bed, stood up, kind of swaying side to side. Then my waters broke. At this point, I don't know if I got down on my knees to break my waters. I think I was on my knees, and it was like the one out of the movie where it's just like a whole freaking waterfall. Because I know sometimes ladies' waters break and it like trickles. No, this was like a full-on waterfall everywhere. So that all got cleaned up, and then I stood back up, and I literally, that was when the push phase was, and he was out within like I think 15 minutes. And that was where like the breathing from the hypnobirthing and those techniques really came in handy, and my head was so in check. Like no one, like you couldn't have said anything to me in that stage. I had my sister there and obviously Seth. Now, one thing that Seth did that really helped with my contractions, and I do see it online sometimes, but I don't see an awful lot amount of people talk about it, but during a contraction, he counteracted it by pushing pressure on my lower back. And now I feel very lucky because he is 6'5". He's got huge, gigantic hands and he's very strong. So when I was contracting, he was literally able to counteract the transaction just by putting his hands on my lower back and squeezing the other way. And that was the best pain relief for me. It wasn't gas and air, obviously didn't have anything else, but that was the best pain relief. It gave me so much relief. So that was Seth's jobs pretty much the whole time until Ziggy was like coming out of my vagina. And then obviously he took a step back. And my sister was just like my little cheerleader. And I think the two of them worked really, really well together. Obviously Seth was cheering me on the whole time as well. But Lydia's very research-based. She's very data. She's was the whole time on her phone, like checking things during the 3 days, making sure that like when my mucus plug was released, it was okay. My mucus plug, by the way, which is something that comes out when you are going into labor, came out at home, and it was just like, it just looks like a stringy, disgusting, like octopusy seaweed thing that came out at home. So that was already out, but my sister was very much kind of like on the information and just keeping us in check and just cheering me on, whereas Seth was a lot more hands-on. My sister didn't really come near me other than like helping me with the fan or giving me a drink. I just stood on my 2 feet and I squatted a little bit and I just breathed and moved him out, and it was the most like euphoric, incredible experience that I can't even really believe I did. And I think still to this day when I look at him, I'm like, wow, I actually did that. And he came out, you'll see in the video, he came out under my legs like a basketball. She passed him through my legs and he came up onto my chest immediately. I was still stood up at this point, and it was just like I felt like I conquered life at that point, and it was absolutely incredible, and I absolutely like loved it. That whole 3 days of pain just was nothing. That moment was everything, and I was just so thankful. During the push phase, this is where I feel like my midwife worked quite well with me, because she used quite a lot of like, I don't know if she'd use reverse psychology, but she was kind of saying to me like, you're not pushing down enough, you're not pushing hard enough. She was like, you need to push harder, otherwise we're going to have to intervene. And I really didn't want intervention. That's kind of when their doctor comes in and they can use like clamps to get them out, and they have to get you on the bed and they have to literally pull the baby out. And I just really didn't want to do that. I was like, I've come this far. And I kind of looked at her as if to say like, bitch, there's no doctors coming in this room. And it was on that last push that I got him out, which is why I feel like she said it to me to like really make me go for it. And if that's what she needed to do for it to work, then that's why I feel like me and her worked quite well together. Then he came onto my chest. I unfortunately then just, I think you see it in the video, but I lost a lot of blood. I just had like a water full of blood come out. So I had to sit down, and that's when like more medical stuff happened. I had to get injected to help with all the blood loss. But at that point, like, I didn't care because Ziggy was here, and I thought, do what you want to me. He's here safe. He was a gorgeous, chunky, healthy baby. And that was all I cared about. Obviously, then I delivered the placenta. Did delayed cord clamping, by the way. So we waited until the cord was completely white, which means that the baby has got all the nutrients from your placenta. That was really important to me. So again, you learn all of this through hypnobirthing as well, whether you want to do delayed cord clamping or whether that's not something important to you. So Seth cut the cord when it had gone white, and then after I delivered the placenta. I can't really explain how that feels. You just get some more contractions and you kind of just get it out. But at that point, as I say, the adrenaline has completely taken over your whole body, that kind of like you just get on with it. I was also getting, my vagina was getting stitched up and I couldn't care less. I was had my legs spread and I had all these women stitching me up, and I didn't care and it didn't hurt, and I wasn't really, really bothered because Ziggy was here. And I think that's where with labor, it becomes such like a euphoric, out of body experience, because it really is the most painful and bizarre thing, but your body takes over in wonderful ways and it doesn't actually feel like that, if that makes sense. So he was born at 3 o'clock in the morning on the Sunday, because we'd gone in just after midnight, and that was really, really the most magical experience. I was just so thankful and just so grateful. As I say, he was perfect. He was a big chunky boy. He was 9 pounds. He had no, I've just forgot the name. I'll have to find it and I'll put it in a caption here, the official term for it. But you know, the white stuff that can sometimes come out of them that's protected them. He was that cooked that all of that had absorbed into his body. So he really did wait for the last freaking minute to come out. So he was just this beautiful, pinky, flushy baby and chubby and had bigger biceps than me and just fell in love straight away. And he was just perfect. I then got taken to, after a little shower in that room, which was quite uncomfortable, I won't lie. I was quite freaking delirious when I look back. I still hadn't slept at this point. I was on day three of no sleep, you know, and no food because I kept throwing it back up. I just couldn't keep anything down. I had pooed all the poo out in my body, which, by the way, you might notice your body will naturally do that before it comes to the push phase because it wants you to get that out so you don't poo out. But just to let you know, so many people and so many women, sorry, poo in labor and it is so normal. So don't feel embarrassed. Don't be worried about it. Every midwife on the earth has seen it and it's just part of the process. People poo, people wee, people bleed, like it's all part of it. So I wasn't really worried about that anyways. But yeah, it was 3 days, no food, a little bit of drink, pretty delirious, but we got taken up to the ward where other moms were. I had some brekkie and stayed there till about 2 p.m. that day. They were just really surprised about my bladder because they like to check everything. And one thing about me, since a little girl, I've always had a very strong bladder and I can hold a lot of water for a long time. I drink like a fish and I think my body had to like be like accustomed to that. So they wanted me to stay in for the night because they were like, something's not right with your bladder. And I was like, what do you mean something's not right with your bladder? And they were like, we just don't think it's normal, like how much it's holding. And I was like, no, this is like me. I've been like this my whole life. I said, I'm absolutely fine. So they said, okay, they said something silly, like you have to do like 6 wees before you go. So I was like, bet, 6 wees, got them out. And then we were, what's the word I want to use again? I'm losing all my words today. We were discharged from the hospital at like 2-3 p.m. that day and went home. It was really the most surreal, beautiful, that hospital experience that I had was wonderful. And I know a lot of people can be afraid and worried and apprehensive, but I was in great hands. And I do honestly feel that with Heather, I really feel like I was in great hands. And I feel like whatever the situation, she was doing the right thing for me. And I felt safe and I just had a really wonderful experience, and I want to promote that and say that not all births can be bad if that's how you feel, like that's all you're seeing. Obviously I didn't have the hypnobirthing birthing suite because it just wasn't available. It was closed at the time and I just kind of rolled with it. I didn't get too like stressed about that. And obviously I'm pregnant now and I'm going back to the same hospital and I'm giving birth again there because obviously I've had such a good experience. I'm like, yeah, of course I'll go back. But again, not fussed if it's open or not. I kind of am a bit more aware of like how it all works in there and the routes to take. So yeah, it was just a really beautiful, trusting, euphoric experience. And I just loved every second of it. And I'm really excited to do it again. I actually just found out in this pregnancy that my placenta is covering my cervix. And obviously if it doesn't move, then I don't actually have the choice to push. So I'm praying in the next 10 weeks or so, or a little bit more, actually, I've got a bit more time, it does move. So I'll keep you updated on that. Cause I think this is my last baby, never say never, but I would love to push again because it meant so much to me and it was the most amazing experience of my life. So I want to do it again, of course. So I'm going to get into some of your questions because I know they'll jog my memory on maybe something that I have missed. This is a good question. Someone asked me about a birthing plan. So in the Midlands, I don't know if this is, well, like nationwide, but they've got something called Badger Notes and it's an app where you can put your birthing plan in. Now, I didn't really make such a strict one, but I kind of did it in line and in tandem with the hypnobirthing. So for example, I requested, please, I want delayed cord clamping. I actually think I said on there that I don't really want an epidural or much pain relief because I just didn't. And it just worked out really well that like I didn't really need one. So I did do a birthing plan, but it was really, really loose. I was quite like open in my mind. I was aware of all the avenues I could go down. I knew what I wanted, but I was also realistic with myself. And I think I was quite easygoing and just going with it. And I think that really helped. So yeah, of course, if you are keen on doing a birthing plan, I think it's really important because also if for any reason you can't speak and your partner's forgot it, which is normal, they can pull it all up and they can see it for you. So any really key notes that you want to put in there, I would. Another one that was on there was about like the vitamin K, which is what they like to inject babies with when they're born. And I put no to that. So it's kind of just like things like that, which I think are really useful. And if you prepare for it, then definitely do a birthing plan. What kept you going during transition? I honestly think it's sheer determination and Mother Nature. I don't think it's anything else. I knew what I had to do. I knew what the main goal was. I'm quite stubborn and strong-minded in that sense. And I just wasn't going to stop until he was there. But I also think it's a lot to do with Mother Nature, and your body just kind of takes over in ways in which I will never be able to describe. But it's what we're designed to do as females, I guess. So I wouldn't say it was like food or drink or energy or resting or sleep, because I couldn't do any of that. And in hindsight, maybe it would have been nice because it would have given me a bit more energy. I was shaking to get Ziggy out because I was on pure adrenaline. My knees and my whole body were shaking. But I honestly think it was just like the breathing and keeping my head in gear. You could have told me any information and I wouldn't even blinked, because I was so on it with my goal and nothing was going to change my mind. And that again was through the hypnobirthing. How was your labor recovery? My physical recovery was great. I healed really quickly. My body healed amazingly. I was really conscious of putting the right food in my body to help with recovery. Obviously the first 2 weeks, first month or so, it's really sore and you are a bit slow and you do bleed for a bit, but my body was good. It really treated me well. And I think I've looked after my body for a long time, so it kind of repaid me. The first pee was a bit uncomfortable, but wasn't like what everybody talks about, where it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world. I didn't have to like splash water on myself as I was weeing or pooing. I didn't get any hemorrhoids? But what's it? Oh, they're just kind of calling it hemorrhoids, piles. That's it, piles. I didn't get any piles or hemorrhoids from the pushing, which I'm really thankful for, because I've heard that they can be really uncomfortable. So my physical recovery was really nice. The only thing that I would say is that I chose to breastfeed Ziggy. And the breastfeeding journey, which I feel like was part of my physical recovery, unfortunately, was really tough. He got checked before we left for tongue tie and all those things. And I don't know how, because it was quite bad, but they missed his tongue tie. So I did 2 weeks of breastfeeding with a severe tongue tie, which was that was more painful than labor. And I feel like that kind of came into part with my recovery, and that was something that I was more struggling with, which then really affected my mental health. So that was one thing that I've learned from. And with this baby, regardless of what the hospitals say, I will have a private tongue tie specialist booked in to double check, because I refuse to go through that pain again. That was the worst pain I've ever been in my life. That was crazy. Did you know you were going into labor before it started? Yeah, I remember actually it was really well. It was on the Friday evening and I couldn't sit down. It was like nighttime-ish, coming into like going to bed. And I kept trying to lie down and I was like, oh, I was really uncomfortable. And I spent the whole night on my feet. So yeah, I knew it was labor. I thought, this is it. I was obviously 2 weeks overdue. I was getting I started contracting really early, which is why I'm surprised it took me so freaking long to get to 6 centimeters. Yeah, I knew, because it was that time and it was everything that I learned. Couldn't sit down. I was really uncomfortable. Obviously the contractions were there, and yeah, it was go time. Your best tips to prepare physically and mentally would be amazing. So I think I've touched on most of them. Physically, all the pre-labor exercises, they absolutely make a difference. I don't care what anybody says. It's Mother Nature. So all the hip opening, the pelvic floor exercises, the walking, really getting this area nice and open and flexible and strong. And then mentally, I honestly think that will all come from your hypnobirthing, because it gives you so much knowledge. Did you get an epidural and did you have a birth plan? What's your plans this time around? So no epidural. Yeah, a loose birth plan on my notes. And it'll be the exact same for this time. I'd love to have the same experience. Maybe a shorter labor, because I hear the second time around they fly out and it's really quick. So I would love that, because this 3-day labor was really tough. But I would love to get her out vaginally again. And the same experience would be absolutely amazing. But of course, Sometimes it can get taken out of our hands, but that is the plan. Someone wrote in saying that they know how important breathing techniques is, and I actually can't reiterate this enough. I breathed my son out. Like, I can't scream it enough. The hypnobirthing breathing techniques that you learn are all about connecting with your body for labor, and the breathing techniques that you use to breathe the baby out. I can't say it enough. It's all a mind game. And my two things in labor was having my head in the game and breathing him out. It's just imperative. And your breath controls everything. And not just in labor, that's in everyday life. Like, literally when they say take a deep breath, it's because your breath controls everything. Is there anything you did to prepare for labor? So just more of the same with regards to all the pre-labor exercises. Again, just put them in TikTok. You'll see loads of them, and you'll see a lot of repeats because they all are kind of similar. I stayed really active. I did do the whole like raspberry leaf tea thing. I don't really know how effective that was. I don't really think I can tell, but I did do it. I did do the whole dates thing, which can soften your cervix. But the most important things for me were just being... had my head in check in those last 2 weeks, because you do start to lose it, especially if your baby's overdue. You do start to get really impatient and fed up, because at this point you're so uncomfortable. But just keeping my head in check, keeping nice and calm, and doing my exercises, and that really, really, really helped. Third degree tear recovery. So I don't think I had third degree. I think I had second degree tear. I think third degree tear is obviously the next level up and the most serious one. So I can't talk about recovery on that one, but go onto TikTok and type it in and you'll see so many people talk about it. I honestly think TikTok is one of the most like educational and helpful platforms now. What are your thoughts on labor interventions, newborn injections, and delayed cord clamping? So delayed cord clamping, yes, because they've got all the nutrients before they actually give it a go in this world. But labor intervention, personally, not something I would choose if I could, and something that I declined multiple times because I just had real like trust in my body and I knew I could do it and I didn't want anyone coming in the way of that. I know it's not one size fits all, and sometimes intervention is completely necessary. I understand everyone's different, but I do think, and I don't want this to trigger anyone or anything, but I do think most of the time it can ruin labor because you're artificially telling your body to do something that it doesn't want to do. And as Mother Nature, like, we women are the strongest and most incredible creatures alive. Like, we can do it. We just have to trust in our body. When it comes to newborn injections, I don't know if you guys have followed my journey closely with Ziggy, but... it's a no from me. And with baby girl, she will be getting absolutely nothing, put it that way. Things they don't tell you about. I think now, especially now in this day and age, with how we are empowering and advocating labor and women more and more, I think we see a lot of it online more now, especially on TikTok, as I say, since this app has come, and it's a lot more like information sharing. I do think we see a lot more of it. I think from my perspective, the one thing I felt I think I was pretty prepared from hypnobirthing. I think for me, it was maybe like the length that it can be. I thought labor was kind of like more of a quick thing. I didn't realize it can go over days and days and days, and there's different stages to labor. I obviously did pick that up in the hypnobirthing, but I thought to myself, no, that won't be me. And then 3 days later it was. So I think that was one thing I just struggled with. But I do feel like if you do a hypnobirthing course and you do your research and you read the books, you'll know everything and you'll know most things. And I think knowledge is power in labor. Coping mechanisms and tools. So the only things I used was a TENS machine, which I used for about an hour at home, which I do think helped. I don't think it was a miracle, but I think it helped. The most effective thing was your partner counteracting the pressure on the contractions. That absolutely saved me. I didn't use any other tools. I know like a lot of people like to squeeze a comb, because with acupuncture and Chinese medicine, the pressure points in your hands linked to your uterus and stuff. I didn't use any of that. I felt like I didn't want to, honestly. I felt like it was more of an irritant, and I was just really in my zone and no one could touch me. But there are a lot of different coping mechanisms and tools that you can use. Did you have an epidural? I'm 20 weeks with a bad back and I'm scared it will make it worse. I didn't have an epidural. No, but I do know that they do trigger a back pain and they can trigger a lot of serious medical things going forward. But also if you need one, you need one. And I think there's also a lot of people that I know that have had them, they've been absolutely fine. So don't be scared. I think you need to trust in your body, trust in the staff. I also know a lot of people that had one, then they just didn't even work. I think sometimes like your body just says no. But just don't be scared. I think this is one thing with labor that I want to scream from the rooftops. If you do the preparation and if you prepare your mind and gather the knowledge, you won't be scared because you will know everything. And I think getting rid of that fear in your head when it comes to labor is one of the most important things, because this is what we're designed to do and we can do it. Like, no one can tell you different. You can do it. So get rid of that fear mongering, whatever that is around you. Get in your head, get the knowledge, prepare yourself, make sure your breathing is ready to go. Be on job, be ready. It's a serious thing. Like, don't let anyone take your mind anywhere else and you will be absolutely fine. Oh, someone asked me, would I ever have a home birth, which is really interesting because when I went last to the hospital, they said to me like, oh, you had a really positive experience with Ziggy, like you smashed it kind of thing. Would you do a home birth? And this is where I actually, although I'm all for hypnobirthing in the natural route and I'm an advocate for it and I think it's the most amazing, powerful thing in the world, I actually am not sure if I could do a home birth. And let me tell you why. For example, when I was pushing Ziggy, his heart rate started to drop quite dramatically. I think he was getting a bit stressed because I wasn't pushing hard enough or whatever. I had the medical tools around me for that information. I think at home, I wouldn't be as confident maybe. I was really confident in the hospital environment because I was like, look, if anything goes wrong with me being in control, I've got the right people and the right products, not products, but apparatus around me to help Ziggy. Whereas at home, I feel like if things started to go left, I'm not sure how I feel about then jumping in an ambulance and getting rushed to hospital. And if something went wrong, I just trust in the hospital and I trust in the environment. And there was enough oxytocin and there was enough of a gorgeous environment in that hospital room to help me. I felt comfortable there and I just don't think a home birth is for me. And I think that's okay, as much as I am for like pro hypnobirthing and pro natural and pro this and pro that. A home birth is not something I desire. It's not something I crave for and want. I actually want to take that experience out of my home and bring it back to my home when I have my beautiful baby in my arms. I know a lot of women like yearn for it and would love to do a home birth, but it's just not something that I really like desire or want. Although I think I could do it, I just don't really want to. So that would be a no. I'd like to know more of your post-labor. I'm really keen to hear your experience after your mental health. So I have touched on my physical health. So my mental health really took a turn. I really, really struggled. I think there was so, when I look back though, I think there were so many factors that had a part to play in it. I think if you followed the journey with Ziggy, unfortunately, like we had a really rough year with him. He suffered from severe eczema and a lot of allergies. And I think as a mom, that was so painful. And I was just really sad. And I was a hurt person. And I was just heartbroken. I then think that had an effect on my relationship, which of course will affect your mental health. I think that kind of all kind of felt like it was falling apart alongside what was happening with Ziggy. I think naturally, mentally, with the hormone drop, I was really struggling with some lows. But I also think they were made extra low from looking at my beautiful baby that then suddenly was riddled with eczema and couldn't sleep. I think sleep deprivation is huge. I think it's literally a form of torture. Sleep deprivation is literally a form of torture. And as a new mom with Ziggy, I was severely sleep deprived. And I am a girl that needs like 8 to 9 hours a day to function. I'm a sleepy girl. I love my sleep. And that had a huge impact on my mental health. So I think although my physical recovery was beautiful and I'm very thankful for it, I think mentally it really took a toll. I also think the issues I had with breastfeeding really affected my mental health. Like, I don't think you really understand until you go through it, but there's this little beautiful human who is depending on your breasts to be fed, and you're just in this most excruciating pain. And each time he needed a feed, I literally had to hype myself up, and I would be crying my eyes out whilst feeding him, like in hysterical tears, just in so much pain. And I don't think you realize that what like that does to a woman. And although it has not changed my views on breastfeeding, and I'm gonna do it again, it was really, really hard time. And I think all of those things, an amalgamation of everything, my mental health was in a really dark place. But I also think it's made me the strongest human now. And I think in this pregnancy, it taught me a lot, and I'm so much stronger. I'm so much more like aware. And I feel like this time around, it will be a lot different. And I'm really, really hopeful for that. I know a lot of it you can't control, because like with severe, it's like the deepest hormone drop you have as a woman, and that does affect your mental health. I think I'll be more aware. Like I know what the drill is now. I know what the baby blues are now. I know, like, my partner knows how to deal with it. I think you have a lot more knowledge, and you're just, it's learned, isn't it? But yeah, my mental health took a toll, I'll be honest. And it was really, really dark at times, but we're all so much stronger for it now. And I've got the most resilient, beautiful little boy, and my knowledge on things is so much stronger now. So I think sometimes the universe gives its battles to people that can take it. And I guess that was mine. Someone wrote to me saying, I'm 38 plus three. Do you have any good tips for getting in the right mindset for labor? Yes, I do. I think, I don't know what you've done to prepare so far, so it's difficult for me to say, but I think, I'm hoping you've got all the knowledge by now. I think it's really just taking time to be in tune with your body, whether you like to meditate, take a walk, get rid of any distraction at home or anything in your life that is hindering you for being on check and on log, because that baby will start to labor like any second now, and you've got to be ready and you've got to have your mind in check. So that would be like my main piece of advice for having that positive labor experience, and making sure, like, paired with your knowledge and knowing what you need to do, just having a clear mind and fresh everything and just going for it. If you had to give just one piece of advice on labor, what would it be? Learn how to breathe. Learn how to breathe your baby out. That would be my main piece of advice for labor. I think if I didn't have the breathing techniques and knowledge on labor, I think my labor would have been totally different. I think the fact that I knew what to do made everything the way it was. So that would be honestly my main piece of advice. A lot of people talking about weeing and pooing and being sick in labor and not caring about it and just letting go of all like inhibitions and fears around that. And I totally agree. Like, when you give birth, you really are in the most like wonderfully vulnerable part of your life, and whatever happens in that room, first of all, it stays in the room. Second of all, you're around trained professionals that see it every single day, multiple times a day, and it's just embracing it all. Like, when I look back now, I felt so embarrassed that I was just stark naked in front of this woman with my huge pregnancy saggy boobs in her face and my whole vagina out in front of her. But like, she didn't bat an eyelid. Like, it's what they're trained to do. I don't know why I couldn't bear have clothes on me, by the way. Like, the thought of clothes on me, like, I felt so like claustrophobic, and I just needed everything off, and I was starkers. And when I think back, I think, oh my god, like, how embarrassing. But nothing is embarrassing in labor. Like, the fact that you've got that baby out is just like incredible, and nothing else matters. Whether you wee, you poo, you vomit, you tear, you bleed, you will be in safe hands, and you will be okay, and everything will be okay. Remember, our bodies are literally designed to do this, and having that knowledge and power and breathing and being calm, you will do it. And I will just caveat my last point, which might sound like a huge contradiction to the whole thing, but also be okay with it not going to plan as well. Because my best friend, this was her plan, hypnobirthing. She was the most chilled pregnant woman I've ever come across. She's very confident naturally, so she wanted to kind of do it all that way. But she's also the most petitest, beautiful woman in the world. And her body just wouldn't, her cervix just wouldn't dilate enough and big enough to get her baby out. And obviously then she had to go into C-section, an emergency C-section. And I look back at cases like that and I'm like, sometimes you just have to embrace that it's not in your plan, and that wasn't in her plan, and her baby was still born in a beautiful way. She still had the music playing. He was still wonderful and healthy and is thriving. And sometimes just be okay with it not being the way you want it to be as well. And I think that's something that I've really taken on board this pregnancy, especially as I just went to the hospital on my 20-week scan and she was like, oh, your placenta is covering your whole cervix. Like, we'll need to book you back in to see if it moves. And I kind of said, oh, okay. And if it doesn't move, then what's the case? And she says, oh, you know, it just means that you have to have a C-section. Like, I'm really okay with that as well. And just being like laid back and pairing my information with having a positive and open mindset that sometimes things might not go to your plan is okay. Okay. So just anyone who's watched this and anyone who is maybe thinking of having a baby or is currently pregnant or wherever you are in your cycle of life, just understand that it can be beautiful and it can be wonderful and it will be when you allow it to be. So it's all of that knowledge and power and positive manifestations and breathing and just being at peace whilst also being locked in. You'll do it. And I honestly had the best and most beautiful experience, and I hope I can have one again. But if you have any further questions or any further thoughts, then please just DM me or drop some comments below on this video, because I do feel really passionately about it, and I will talk and rave about it until I need to, because it was beautiful. So if you've made it this far, thanks so much for listening. We'll see how labor goes with baby number two. I plan to do the exact same thing, so fingers crossed. And yeah, I'm so excited, but ciao for now.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.